And now, the time fight fans all across the globe have been waiting for. It's the MTMV main card with your man, The Voice. As always, in the opposite corner, my mano y mano, my verbal sparring partner, Philly's finest, Wildress Ruffin. What's going on,
Ruff? Ladies and gentlemen, we here, Voice. I'm excited to be here. It's been a minute. We've had, had some time off to kind of reboot and get y'all ready. I'm excited. Wes, how you feeling today?
Let's see. Is Joel Embiid hurt?
Yeah, man.
Okay, then I'm feeling great. Wow. Actually, that's not what I meant to say. I'm feeling fine. I meant to save that for when you ask me if I was ready. Because I try to come with
it's all going to be even more amazing when he returns and knocks the Boston Celtics out in the playoffs on the way to our championship run. So I'm not even worried about that. You can talk about the MVP all you want to, because that's what you do. Let me give you your little intro, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's the man, the myth, the legend, the man with his own t-shirt, the man that my mama keeps saying, Voice, where's her t-shirt? The man who looks like he has a halo over his head, but he ain't the Lord. The Voice. You a hater, Voice, and I see you starting early, but it's all good.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You starting early. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of the main card where we talk about retirements and rumors, and we fill you in on some of the biggest stories actually in boxing that's been going on literally over the past week, and we've had a lot of stuff going on. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. We got some good things to cover for you. Now, today, Voice, like I said, we talked about doing things a little bit differently. So what we're going to do here, we're going to focus on three fighters, all in the same orbit, who've all been in the news lately. Fighters who the Ring magazine currently called the number 1, 3, and 4 best fighters in the lightweight division. Those are Shakur Stevenson. Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson, and Ryan Garcia. Now, the first, which made big news, and I know we talked about this in our group chat, recently the undefeated 26-year-old Shakur Stevenson shocked the boxing world when he announced at the ripe age of 26 that he will be retiring from the sport before fans got to see a number of premier super fights. Now, Stevenson, who recently defeated Edwin De Los Santos for the vacant WBC lightweight title, he posted on Twitter, "I'm officially retiring from the sport of boxing. I'll be in the gym forever, perfecting my craft and helping the next generation become great and chase their dreams. But I ain't with this weak boxing game," end quote. Now, while Stevenson has announced his retirement, as remember, he has yet to vacate his title, which has left fans and his contemporaries skeptical on if he's truly done. And we got to remember, Stevenson recently has expressed his frustration with inabilities to get big fighters to get in the ring with him, something that may have played a part in his current feelings. And he's literally stated that these people are ducking him. Boy, so what are your thoughts on this? And should we truly believe that Shakur is done? And if he's not done, What do we expect?
Okay, let's go first things first. Is he done? Fighters often retire multiple times. Usually they retire about 3 times or so before they're done for real. So this is just his first retirement. Someone likened it to just a spoiled brat throwing a fit, and kind of sounds like that, really. I love Shakur as a fighter. I think he's a wonderful, wonderful fighter, but especially coming off of a fight where you watched it to see if someone would go to sleep, but you didn't think that you were the one who was going to go to sleep. You come off a lackluster performance like he had against De Los Santos, where it set the record for like least amount of punches thrown, to then, thrown into the, they won't fight me, so I'm leaving. It's like, okay, you didn't do yourself many favors with that fight. Like, people are not clamoring to see you fight again, which means that other fights would be more interesting. Now, what was the second part of the question?
If he does, if he's not truly retired, who are we expecting him to fight?
That is the million-dollar question. You know, going back to him and him throwing the fit, let's talk about how all this started. So, he, being Shakur, thought, okay, well, after this fight, and really the way that it was set up, so after this fight, you know, I'll get the big fight with Loma. Well, Loma's fighting Kambosos for an IBF title. And let me say this, all these fighters are under Top Rank as well. On the fight card that Shakur, you know, put everybody to sleep on, the fight right before that was with Emmanuel Navarrete. And Navarrete put on a performance, and it was like, ooh, you know, maybe Navarrete can come up and, you know, he can fight Shakur. And it's like, well, no, he's fighting somebody else for the vacant WBO title. And this is where I think Shakur really was like, I'm done. That's why he was like, you know, the business of boxing, I can't, you know, I can't mess with it. I can help other people with their dreams, but all this stuff, I'm done with it. And that's because, again, Shakur's kind of mad. The WBO gave him a title shot against Jermell Herring because he was their champion at like 126, and he moved up to 130. When he moved up to 130, he immediately faced off against Jermell Herring because he was their champion before, and he figured he was going to get the same treatment again. And they like, nah, dog, you all right, little buddy. The interesting thing about all of this, you ask where he's going next. One place that he may not be going is against any Golden Boy fighters. That's who Ryan should be trying to fight next. But Oscar was like, hey, yeah, you know, congratulations. Go on, let that belt go then, partner. If you retired, go on vacate the belt. To which Mauricio Suleiman, the head of the WBC, said, hey, you pretty much, all right, you mad, we got it, you still our champ, right. So you know, we'll make some things happen. Honestly, if Ryan will come down to 135, that would be a decent fight to have.
But boys, is Shakur getting a fair shake? I mean, let's be honest, in the fight against DeSantos, they stated he was injured. He got injured right before the fight. So
he didn't say he was injured. Go ahead.
His team stated previously that he had gotten injured before the fight. Now, he may not have come out and said it because he didn't want to make any excuse, but he said he was injured. Now, this is a fighter that literally has generational talent. We've all talked about this before. Is it not fair to say, especially how we've talked about before, about how hard it is to make these fights, that there is a possibility that some of the biggest fighters don't want to get in the ring with Shakur, and it's not because they feel like it's boring, but maybe out of survival?
That is one of the reasons why it's so difficult for him to get a fight, is because what he did to De Los Santos, he can do to pretty much anyone in or around his weight class. He can go in there, make you miss, not do much, punch a couple times and win, and nobody wants to be embarrassed like that. So it's quite possible that, or I should say, he's been having trouble getting fights. I mean, we're gonna talk about some more fights in a moment, and these are people who would not fight him. Let's not forget, they were, I believe it was Shakur and Frank Martin have been ordered for a fight, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Pitbull Cruz and Shakur, I believe, were ordered for a fight. And Pitbull was like, I'm good. Like, they sent him the contract. He was like, no, thank you. Like, I'm not even looking at the contract. Don't send it to a purse bid. I don't want to fight. So, yeah, he's having trouble getting fights. And I understand. I can understand how frustrating that may be. But you don't help yourself with fights like the fight that you just had. And you definitely don't help yourself. Well, maybe you do help yourself doing this. Because here's the thing. He's on the last fight of his contract with Top Rank. So maybe this retirement is really some public negotiations for him to get more of what he wants from Top Rank in a re-up.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a possibility. We definitely don't want to see a young, great fighter at 26 call it quits before we get to see some of these great super fights that we've been asking for. And you recently mentioned one fighter who has constantly been listed as a potential fighter for Shakur Stevens. That's Ryan Garcia. Now, Ryan has been on a bit of a roller coaster since his 2023 KO loss to Tank. Now, since then, Ryan has had a number of things happen. He's had a public falling out with his promoter, Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy. He's been mentored by Floyd Mayweather. He's publicly called for multiple bouts with fighters from Haney to Rolly, even speaking on the possibility of a fight with the Monster, which Ari, I want to hear your thoughts on that voice. Now, the thing about this is that now we're possibly going back on to Devin Haney, who literally recently shared a cryptic tweet on April 20th after it was announced that the two sides will be again back at the table. Now, in regards to the fight with Rolly, it's interesting. Rolly stated that the issue with the bout didn't happen due to a low offer from Golden Boy. Rolly went on to as far as to say that with all the politics, the fight with Cruz was actually better for him. Another person who spoke on it, Bill Haney. Now, Bill Haney said, I don't know whether to call him Crying Ryan, Lying Ryan, or is he on top of his game now, Ryan? You say you're going to make me throw in a towel or make me do this or that. Now, if you're serious and you're going to sign to the fight, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it. As far as the retiring and the conspiracies going on in the state of boxing, we got a recent retirement or is it a publicity stunt with the Stevenson team? All I know is a lot of these fighters are ducking and hiding. Now, I hear there might have been some conspiring going on with the infamous mysterious run in the middle of the night. He's speaking on Ryan Garcia running with Floyd Mayweather. He stated, so Ryan comes out and says Floyd told him not to do it. And every time not to do the fight between Devin and Ryan, right? So am I lying? It's the Devin Haney era, and everybody and their mama is trying to stop this. Did I lie about something? I say everything, but let's fight. Now, it's a lot of statements here, Royce, because a number of fighters have recently called out Golden Boy on their negotiation tactics when it comes to Ryan Garcia and how things are handled. When you look at everything that Oscar De La Hoya is literally putting out there, this is not something that a promoter should be doing. On top of that, Ryan seems to have been a little lost after the Tank bout, and it was heartbreaking to see him literally sit there and his team is gone and then they're making excuses. I got a couple questions. I want to start with the first one.
Okay.
What is your thoughts on everything that's gone on with Ryan over the past year and a half or so?
It's it's an unfortunate sea of chaos of his own making. I'll explain. Mm-hmm. Ryan has been known, or I should say he's been called this social media fighter forever, even though, you know, he's got an extensive amateur career. Called this social media fighter forever. And, you know, over the past, you know, year and a half, he went in there, he finally got, you know, a fight that would test him. And we saw that, yeah, he's not that dude. He is a good boxer. He has power. But when he goes in against some more notable fighters, then it it just doesn't turn out well. You know, his best win is against Luke Campbell. Luke Campbell never fought again after that, though. So I think that kind of says something as to where Campbell was in his career. Oh, and Campbell did knock him down in that fight. So,
yeah,
you know, it just kind of proves where he is. And then how he lost the fight to Tank, you know, admittedly saying, you know, I was there and I was like, ooh, I could push through, I could get up. No, I'm not going to get up. So, again, this sea of chaos is because you keep stirring the water. Leave the water alone and just focus on fighting. It's always some drama with him. Fighting with your promoters, leaving your trainers, going to another trainer, leaving them. I mean, it's always something with Ryan. So all the stuff that's going on, really, he's got nobody to look at but the man in the mirror.
No, I mean, I get that. A lot of times, you know, these things can happen. He's a young fighter. I mean, he got a lot of shine early in comparison to a lot of his contemporaries who had to work for it. But like you said, he's got an extensive amateur career. And there have been statements saying that Ryan can really go when he's focused. So with the whole thing with Golden Boy, I want to get into the next question.
Okay.
He connected with Floyd. We saw a little bit of focus with him. We saw him training a little bit. Would it be better off for him to be with Floyd Mayweather?
The issue is not necessarily who he's with, because we kind of spoke about this a bit last time that we had the show when this fight was being bandied about. Whoever he's with, that's kind of who he's talking like. When he was with Canelo, he was talking like Canelo. I guess he was talking like himself when he left and went to Goosen or back to Goosen. You know, now he's with Derek James and he's kind of talking like the PBC guys. Oh, Floyd's around. Okay, well, let me do what he says. With the exception of Oscar, he's like clung to pretty much everyone. But like as soon as he got with Canelo, then he started playing, you know, Oscar, oh, I'm not getting paid enough. Well, then they start paying him, and he's been acting like, you know, a diva. But, you know, he got with Floyd, you know, they ran, and then Floyd puts out this post, you know, with the flyer, like, hey, you know, let's make this thing happen. And then all of a sudden, we see this. And it wasn't that far gone. Now, okay, I don't want to get too far off. You wanted to know what was the question again? Because I want to make sure I'm answering.
If he would truly be better off with Floyd,
he wouldn't be better off with Floyd. He'll be better off sitting on a sports psychologist's couch, finding himself, and then being his own man. That's what will be best for him. Because again, whoever he's with, he is mocking and mimicking them until the next somebody comes and whispers something in his ear, and then he's all on that team. He needs to find himself.
Maybe I'm giving him a little bit too much credit, but it just seems like he's in a bad situation. I mean, Golden Boy literally does not seem they've done him any favors whatsoever. You look at the aftermath of the fight with Tank. Then they talked about the hydration clause and how Golden Boy should have stopped that and not even allowed that to happen, because there have been some great fighters. I believe Andre Ward even stated that if the rehydration clause had not happened, the fight between him and Tank may have not ended in the manner that it did. There's a few fighters who stated that. So it's not to say that Ryan isn't talented, but maybe he just has the wrong mentorship, and maybe he just needs to be under someone clear. We know how great Canelo was, but of course Canelo didn't work out because, in my mind, yes, Ryan has some ownership to that, but at that time he was a 17-year-old kid, and you're just criticizing this kid.
No, not at the time that he – by the time he left Canelo, that was just a couple years ago. Like, he was
– he's 22 now, right?
No, he's probably close to about 25 or so, but it wasn't that long ago that he left not only Canelo, but Canelo's trainer. And the reason Canelo's trainer was like, cool, kick rocks, and said, because he wasn't showing up and he wasn't working out. You know, like he was taking things too lightly. But okay, he could have stuck to the no rehydration clause. We wouldn't have seen the fight. Let's be real. We would not have seen the fight if the no rehydration clause was in there. I gotta keep it 100. Fight wouldn't have happened. And that's because Tank has a great team around him that ensures that whatever happens is to Tank's favor. Most of Tank's fights have been against people who are blown up in weight. You know, they were fighting at a smaller weight, came up to face him, or, you know, cutting down and you know, having these other kind of stipulations in place. So, yeah, so let's be real. PBC is excellent about making sure that their fighters are taken care of and their fighters own.
Yeah, Bill Haney, when he was on streaming, he made a couple more statements about it, and it's making me question now what's actually going to happen between the potential fight between him and Haney, because, you know, like I said, we saw the tweet that Haney put out. He said, "I don't know what he was doing when he was running with him, when he was running with Floyd in the first place. If you got Tank and you got Rowley and you're running with Garcia, and then the man comes out and says mysteriously that the Haney fight didn't happen, then put on a poster and said the biggest fight in boxing, mentioned three fighters that sell, and Devin was not one of them." Now, the Haney camp believes that they're just not getting the respect that they deserve. When you look at Haney's last bout, which we talked about also, there were a lot of people who thought that Devin Haney didn't win that bout. Now, no, Devin is not out of the
not the last either. Bout. That was a bout before.
What was it? What was the bout before?
The bout before was against Lomachenko. That's the one they're like, "Oh no, he didn't win. He didn't win. He did win."
But people didn't think that he looked strong in his last bout either. Oh, no, is what I'm saying. Did,
no,
what I'm
saying. No, you're forgetting. He fought Regis Prograis. He demolished Regis Prograis. He made Regis look like he shouldn't have even ever held a title.
No, that's not what I'm saying. This is what boxing pundits, and I've seen boxers talking on Showtime make that statement. So you don't believe that that's true?
I if they're saying that, I think that they're just being that they are trying to play up a certain narrative. They may be what Bill Haney is saying. Bill Haney has kept this discussion up around Devin for a while. You know, he the Rodney Dangerfield of boxing. No respect, no respect, no respect. And at a point, that was the case, but the man's got all the belts now, or he had all the belts, and he just went and fought for another belt, and is, you know, doing things. So I don't know about that now.
That was exactly what I was trying to lead you into, because Bill Haney during the stream, he stated that he does not feel like his son, the champion, does not get the respect that he deserves, and is being shown through a couple of fighters. Now, recently, Devin was actually called out by both Keith Thurman, who called him a scared fighter, and Conor Benn, who your reaction to that earlier was amazing. Conor Benn recently stated, if he wants to come to England and up to 147, no problem. Think it's going to be an easy touch? Come over. It's not a problem to me. Let's fight. We could have it in America, in England, in a phone box, anywhere. He said, I'm telling Bill this. I'm going to tell him this now. Now, this was Garcia afterwards, when they were making a statement about the possibility of the fight still happening. Garcia said he will have three chances to stop the fight. The first one, if he doesn't do it, then who knows what's going to happen. I'm telling you, you're going to have three chances to help your son out in the fight, and we're going to see if you really care about your son. So, Royce, Devin Haney right now is number one rated lightweight, and he seems to be getting the least respect out of anybody, including Garcia. What do you make of these statements, and why are these people not taking Devin Haney as seriously as they should?
I don't think that they're taking him lightly at all. I just think that he's in a position where it's not going to be easy night. And because it's not going to be easy night, people are not really into fighting him. Now, someone who is into fighting him, I think for him, it's not an easy night. So that's the reason that, or I should say, many pundits have said that the 75-25 offer that he made, being Devin to Shakur, was because he did not want to really fight him. It was like, that's an offer that you make. So you can say, oh, I made an offer and he turned it down. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of offers and turning things down, Devin has said, hey, I told the people, I told PBC, give me the same deal you gave Ryan and I'll take the fight with Tank. Say, give me that deal. Whatever you did for Ryan, I'll sign for the same thing and fight Tank. And crickets. Matter of fact, Calvin Ford said recently, he was like, you know, no, that's not a fight that we, you know, I don't see us fighting that fight. You know, so it's hard for both of them to get fights, which is why I would like to see them fight each other. Or I should say it's seemingly hard. Now, the whole Conor Ben, I'm going to wait on Conor Ben. Let's talk about Conor Ben a bit later. But yeah, so do you have anything else on this one?
I mean, you make great points. And I, in researching this and looking into this and seeing how much disrespect Devin Haney had, it seemed like Haney and Garcia are the perfect dance mates right now, like you said. Because Garcia brings the height and name, which I can understand why they didn't want to give him the Garcia purse. But Haney comes with the boxing sachet, so to speak, that right now Ryan is missing. So it's almost the perfect thing to happen. Do we see this fight happen April 20th, is they're planning on, or do you foresee something possibly happening that's going to stop this?
Well, seeing as when, or before everything fell apart, before the run, before the infamous run, and Ryan said on the run, he was like, yeah, you know, Floyd, he's really influential, and, you know, he played me, he made me do this, and, you know, he played me, and if he did, hey, kudos to him, because it brought a whole lot of shine to a fight that nobody was asking for. Nobody said, oh, I got to see Rolly and Pitbull. Said no one ever. Now, will it be a good fight? I think it actually probably is what will draw people to that main, or I should say to that pay-per-view. It definitely is not Keith Thurman, who who's got top billing. He has top billing over a current champion. He's fighting at a weight class he's never fought at before, and it's not a title on the line. It's like, yeah, it's interesting. It is very interesting. But
I saw on Twitter, I gotta tell you this, I saw on Twitter someone said, when speaking about the Keith Thurman fight, they said, you know what, I would have rather seen Keith fight Clarissa Shields instead. I don't know how to feel about that. Keith Thurman has called out a number of fighters, but that's the name of the game right now. We've talked about this before, and as far as how lopsided it feels like the sport of boxing is with certain things. I mean, we're finally seeing bigger fights. You know, I know in a couple weeks we're going to talk about Joshua and Ngannou. We're going to talk about Usyk and Fury. Yeah. But you want to see those bigger fights all around. And the lightweight division seems like that's the biggest place for fireworks right now. So hopefully we get a chance to see those big fights. Hopefully Garcia and Haney can put pen to paper and April 20th can come and we get to see it. Because the last thing Haney said was he's going to knock the shoulder roll off of Ryan Garcia if they get in the ring. So,
I mean, the fact that
that would be
about that date and that they were, or I should say Oscar was working towards that before the run. It's pretty much a done deal, I would think.
Awesome. Awesome. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsor. Shout out to Ozell Brand. When we come back, we're going to close you out with some fights of the weekend and get you prepared. We'll be right back.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
All Awesome, awesome. Shout out to Ozell Brand. Make sure you copping them colorways, getting them in your stores. Baseball season is coming up. I know your kids need some new baseball cleats, so make sure you check out Ozell Brand. That's OzellBrand.com. Boys, we've had an amazing show talking about retires and rumors, but give us the things that we should be looking forward to this weekend.
Well, you spoke about Ben, and he will be fighting, headlining here in the U.S. at the Cosmopolitan in Vegas. So you headlining in Vegas. And that's going to be wonderful. In Vegas as well, you got Roman Dolidze versus Imavov at the Apex for the UFC. So, you know, got a lot of things going on with that Ben Dobson fight. You know, not a lot of people are talking about it because Dobson's not really, you know, known that much. But for kind of Ben, he needs his fight and he needs to do well. Since we were speaking about Haney, and since he brought up Haney, like, you need to come over to the UK and fight at 147, to borrow a term from our family and not the same, one word, you can't fight in the UK because of the doping scandals and stuff. That's why Eddie Hearn has you fighting in the US for the last two fights. He fought in your town, in Orlando, and now you fighting in Vegas because you can't fight in the UK. Oh, but they're still playing it up to the UK crowd because the time frame that the fight is taking place is the same time that it would have taken place in the UK. It's like in the afternoon, like the start time is 2 o'clock Central Time, you know, for me. So that's, you know, during the day, and it's counter programming against a fight that has all of London in an uproar. Bouazzi versus Aziz. These guys have been friends. They've been sparring partners. They've come up through the ranks together. And now it's seemingly, you know, a little tension, especially after Aziz had to pull out of the fight back in October due to having a bad back. You know, but one word, get your stuff together. Talking about it came through my eggs. Okay, you ate so many eggs, you pop positive for like multiple drugs. Okay, so whatever. I mean, but he's working on his stuff. He gets his stuff together and can fight in the UK. Then maybe those things can happen, but take care of your business first.
Maybe he has some tainted egg whites, which you don't know. You know,
I don't know, but I've never heard of people having steroids and stuff in the egg whites. And you eating some beef down in Mexico? Whole nother story.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's going to be a great weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in. The MTMV Sports family, we are all over. We are covering everything that you want to cover. Basketball, football. Not the Same gives you just about everything. The Pretty Spectacular Sports Show. There's a lot going on with MTMV Sports. If you have not visited our website yet, please make sure you visit our website. Check out some of those articles. Grab you some merch. You know, Voice got a shirt. Voice owe my mama a shirt. So if you go on the website, you can send Voice a link so you can send my mama his shirt so she can stop harassing me. Make sure that you follow us on all social media, MTV Sports. And also make sure you're following The Voice on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, at The Voice. He gives those spicy takes, and sometimes he may even post something that is very spiritual and heartfelt, because you know that's how Voice does. You can follow me at Mr. Teddy Farrell on all platforms. Voice, take us out.
Until next time, fight the good fight.